The last few weeks, I've been teaching about the fruit of the Spirit as found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I'd like to read from that text again. If you're looking for it, it's after 2 Corinthians and before Ephesians. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Spoken on most of these, I've not touched on goodness, but on the others I have spoken, and this morning I will be teaching on the word patience. One of the main points I've tried to make is that these are the characteristics of God. God is kind. God is loving. God is joyful. God is gentle. These are the things that the Bible describes about God. And then when it says the fruit of the Spirit, that means the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the normal, when God gives these fruit to us, then we become like God. We have His characteristics: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. These are things that God gives, and we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like to establish that God is patient. He gives us patience. Of course, He could not give us patience if He did not have patience. Just an experiential thing, if God did not have patience with us, we probably wouldn't even be here. The whole earth would have been wiped out centuries ago. But God is patient. He is not impatient with sin. I read that portion this morning in the invocation, right before the promise of the virgin birth. And that promise of the virgin birth starts out with the word therefore, and that therefore comes right after, will you try the patience of God also? You've tried the patience of men, will you try the patience of God? Will you push God to some sort of limit? Well, we're going to find out that God has no limit to His patience. But are you trying to do that? And God in His patience promised us the Messiah, Emmanuel. One of the tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, describing the patience of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, 1 Timothy 1, 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Somehow, it describes the patience of Jesus Christ as unlimited, no limit to His patience, and that this unlimited patience is being shown forth in the Apostle Paul. Now, I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to give two alternatives. One is that this patience is now exhibited through Paul, but I think more likely that since he was the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ had to have unlimited patience for him before he saved. But his salvation was God's purpose, and patience is what causes our salvation. If God were not patient, He would not do it. And He tells us that He is to show forth His unlimited patience through the Apostle Paul as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. We look at the Apostle Paul's salvation as an example that we also can have eternal life because of the unlimited patience of Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I memorized a verse in the King James Version, and it describes us that we may enter into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. Well, as I've looked it up in other versions, it's probably not that. It's probably that we would receive God's love and Jesus Christ's patience. The patience that is Jesus Christ. That becomes imparted to us as the love of God becomes imparted to us. Patience is something, as telling the children this morning, that doesn't seem to be a natural. We can have other things that seem natural. They're not, but they seem natural. Like love, we can have love within the family without knowing the love of God. We can have what we think is joy. As I described Army beating Navy in a football game a few weeks ago, there is joy. Now, patience doesn't come naturally like love and joy. Impatience comes naturally. We don't even know what the definition of patience is. You've heard me say this before. I will say it again, that we could do without the word patience in the English vocabulary. We don't need the word. Because when we use it, we always use it improperly. We say things like this. I've waited here patiently for 20 minutes, which means I've waited impatiently for 20 minutes. We only use the word patience when we're impatient. If we were patient, we would not use the word. We don't need to use the word. We could write it in the third person and write a story, I suppose. But when we use the word patience today, we generally mean impatience. Because impatience is normal. Yesterday, I was driving with Gordon, and when he gets with me, he checks my reasons and motives on strategy on how I raised our children. So he thinks we did a good job, so he can do the same thing. Now, he always expects words of wisdom. And the question he asked yesterday was this. He said, Dad, what was your strategy in not giving us chores to do? A chore is a job, a daily job that children have to do. Well, when I was a boy, I had chores. I had to split wood. I had to milk the cows. I had to do things that I had to do every day. It was just expected. I just did them. And he wanted to know why we didn't have our kids do daily duties. He figured there'd be some great bit of wisdom coming up. And here is the real answer. If I gave the kids a job to do, they would argue about it. And I would get impatient. I didn't like being impatient, so I didn't give them jobs. I knew that I didn't handle disobedience properly. One of the reasons I did not handle it properly was probably just being impatient, but the other was that I had spent 11 years in the United States Navy. I was an officer for most of that time. Before I was an officer, I was an enlisted man, and I had gone through basic training or boot camp. And they taught instant obedience. When they said something, you did it right now, like immediately. If you did not obey immediately, there were consequences that were unpleasant. And so we had 8 weeks of doing things immediately. Then I became an officer, and I expected the men I was in charge of to do things immediately. And you know that? They did. I didn't have to yell, didn't have to scream, didn't have to do anything. I just said things and people did them. Well, then I became a father and I thought my children were sailors. The problem is they had not gone through 8 weeks of basic training. They did not know what instant obedience was. And if I did not get instant obedience, I was impatient. So here I was, a contradiction. I was a Christian father and a naval officer. And they didn't seem to fit. I did not like impatience in my life. I called it sin, and it was sin. And I avoided it by, well, I tried to, but sometimes it didn't succeed. And my worst memories of raising the children was my impatience. I don't think there was any excuse for impatience. One of the things that taught me was reading something from the Lord Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 22. Correction, 21. Matthew 21, 28. Jesus asked this question. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Now, do you have that? He told the two sons to do the same job. The first one said, "No, I won't do it," and later did it. The other one said, "Yes, sir, I will do it," and didn't do it. Then Jesus asked the question, which of the two did what his father wanted? Which of the two obeyed his father? The first, they answered. Now, from my viewpoint, neither one did. Because the first one wasn't instantly obedient, and the second one lied. Didn't obey at all. But I realized that Jesus called this second one obedience. I mean, the first one, obedience, where he said, "I won't go," and did go. Even though it was delayed obedience. Which is teaching here, as an example, that Jesus was teaching that our father here, he still called it impatient. He didn't say what his father's reaction was. But he still did not condemn the first person. Now he draws another conclusion here, that these people heard John the Baptist and did not believe. And people who are disobedient and later repent are going to be into heaven. Now God is patient, and that's what he's teaching here. I began to realize that, I knew it from the Navy. There are two kinds of commands, or one is a command and the other is an order. They both have to be obeyed, but a command has to be obeyed right now in the exact way, about face. That doesn't mean 2 minutes from now. You know, you do it immediately. Another is an order where you have the freedom of time and how to do it, but you still must do it. That's not my main subject. My main subject was patience, that God is patient. And he gives patience. To help to understand what patience is, you have to connect it with other words. One, you connect it with the word waiting. Patience includes waiting. That there is a time involved in patience. If everything happened right now, the word would be a non-word. So there has to be time involved in patience. Second, there's a word that is connected with patience, and that is the word affliction, or suffering. So now we have time, and with this time, suffering at this end. The time makes us impatient, the suffering makes us impatient. Then we have some positive words that are connected with patience that do not seem to make sense. In Colossians 1, it says patience with joy. Patience with joy. It's Colossians 1:11. The reason that doesn't make sense to us is because we think of impatience when we say patience. And of course, impatience and joy don't go together. But patience goes with joy. Joy goes with patience. So now you're waiting in suffering and affliction with joy. Another word that goes with patience is the word kindness. We spoke of that a few weeks ago in Romans 2:4. It says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience?" Here it tells us that God is rich in kindness, rich in tolerance, rich in patience. It connects patience with tolerance and kindness, and that God is all three, and he's rich in these things. So when we think of patience, we think of kindness, tolerance, joy, affliction, and waiting. We see it in Colossians 3. It connects adjacent to the word patience is the word gentleness. So we see gentleness, kindness, joy, tolerance, waiting, and affliction. The affliction and the waiting are the things that tempt us to be impatient, and these other characteristics are those that help us be patient in the affliction and the waiting. I already made reference to the promise of the Messiah was out of the patience of God. We also see that salvation itself, I mentioned that also, but you can see it in 2 Peter 3:15. Verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul spoke of in all of his letters. God's patience, the Lord's patience, means salvation. There's a passage I'd like to dwell on in great length, and I'm not sure I'm prepared to do it, so I'll just make passing reference to it, but I hope in the future I can do it. It's in Romans chapter 9, verse 22, where it speaks of God's patience in relationship to the people who are objects of wrath. I'm not going to say much more about it because I'm not prepared to say it, but I've got it in the back of my head. Sometime it'll come out with sense. Verse 22, what if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath? We see that patience here is toward people who are great sinners. But then it says it that what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy? Here again is showing God's patience toward people who are great sinners. And somehow this is for the objects of his mercy. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to go with that, but I want to point out here that the things that make us impatient do not make God impatient. Great patience, unlimited patience. And it has to do with these other words that I've been connected, mercy and love, grace, that we have pushed God and he hasn't been pushed. If you know children, or if you remember when you were a child, there were certain things that your parents said you could not do or go beyond. And I remember that the child would go up to the very edge of the line, the perimeter, and look to see what would happen. He would be careful not to step over. If nobody was watching, he would step over. I remember when Douglas was less than a year old, or he may have been a year old. He wasn't walking yet. And there is a limit. He was not allowed to crawl in the kitchen. He could crawl all over the house, but he could not go into the kitchen. He knew, he understood English. Couldn't walk or talk, but he could understand. He knew he was not going into the kitchen. One day, I saw him crawling the living room with a ball in one hand. He dragged his south side. He didn't crawl with his knees. He just did this. And he was headed toward the kitchen. He got up to the kitchen door and looked around to see if anybody was looking. Did not see me. And then threw the ball into the kitchen. Then looked around again to see if anybody was looking. And didn't see anybody looking, so he went in to get the ball. But he had an excuse to go in because he didn't get away with it. However, when we get pushed, do we get impatient? Sometimes I spanked him because he needed spanking. Sometimes I spanked him because I was impatient. And there is a big difference in the effect on the spanking. When I spank because I'm impatient, because somebody has exceeded my limits, then I am wrong. We exceed God's limits, and God does not get impatient. He may discipline us for our good, but not because he's impatient. Impatience is sin. God gives us patience because that's what he is. He is patient. I did not connect the word faith with the word patience, but it's also one of the words that shows up with patience. It shows up in Hebrews where it says, consider the example of those who by faith and patience inherited the promises. Here you see faith connected with patience. You see joy connected, gentleness, kindness, tolerance, waiting, affliction. One of the things you do see in this wait, though, is for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the waiting and the patience for the return of Jesus Christ. I already told you that one of the ways I endeavor to be patient is stay out of the things that make me impatient. I told you I did not put things on the children that I thought would cause me to have a bad reaction. I'm not saying that I was absolutely right. I think I was relatively right because I knew myself. That I could be tempted to impatience. In terms of a solution, Bessie gave me a little poem. I will recite it now. It has nothing to do with my major points, but it's just a humorous little thing. It says, patience is a virtue. Get it if you can. Seldom found in women, never found in man. Okay, that is what makes that funny is it's so seemingly true. We cannot have substitutes for patience. We can seem to have substitutes for some of these other things. They are not real, but they pass as real, but we cannot have a substitute for patience. The only way is to get it. You probably heard the story of the person who said, pray for me that I'll have patience. So the person who was requested to pray started praying for great affliction and suffering to happen on this person who asked for patience. He said, don't do that. Well, the scripture says in Romans 5, suffering, tribulation, works patience. You want patience? Well, we'll just pray for some tribulation. We'll pray for some suffering. We'll pray for some affliction. Yes, but she knew, this person who requested prayer, that also tribulation causes impatience. It doesn't automatically cause patience, but it's an atmosphere that will prove and establish patience. If everything went well, I've talked to mothers with little children, and sometimes they answer, well, how was your day? Well, I didn't lose my temper because the kids were at school. I did not have, and I said earlier, that's what I tried to avoid, the atmosphere that would cause impatience. But the real fruit of the Spirit shows up when we have an atmosphere that causes impatience. That's when we call upon the patience of God. When I... be impatient. But normally, they don't cause an expression of impatience. In other words, I do not explode or say bad words when I'm working with things. Even though I may get impatient that it's not going right. These things may be tempting me to be impatient, but they don't tempt me to say anything impatient. That's why I have a wife. Several times in our life together, things have made me impatient, and she has intruded, and I expressed it to her. She had nothing to do with the event, but I do not express myself, but people help me express myself. I recognize that this is still a major problem to me. Not things, people. I still have this sort of expectation that people should do things the way I want when I want. And I get impatient when it doesn't happen. Now the difference is that I am increasingly conscious of how sinful it is and does not represent Jesus Christ. I am not more like the Lord Jesus Christ because I think I may be getting a little bit more, but it's sort of like I'm getting less impatient, not that I'm getting more patient. But maybe because all the children have left home. You know, I don't know that there's more grace. But when I'm speaking of this today, I'm speaking to myself. It's probably been my major problem in my life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has unlimited patience, that the Scripture speaks of great patience, and that we should have this patience with joy and gentleness and kindness and tolerance and faith, and that we should have it in affliction and suffering, have it while we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.